how to date better as a man, how to better understand women, how to authentically market yourself, create chemistry, flirt.
How do you teach guys when it comes to having their own standards?
I think they should have high standards and they should be going for the ultimate goal of what they want.
Lane Anderson, she is a dating coach for smart men.
And she's also the founder of Dating by Blaine.
She appeared on Shark Tank and has also appeared in the New York Times.
How do you navigate people of handling rejection?
Think of it as redirection.
What do you mean by that?
The challenge for women is, how do I decipher who is going to be a good partner?
Yeah, absolutely.
The challenge for men is...
I was really excited to speak to you because it's like a breath of fresh air, I felt, like researching your content, because it's rare to see, you know, especially in this day and age, of like someone really standing up for the average man. And obviously your content and your business is around this whole world. But I'd be curious to know, like, well, first of all, for people that haven't heard about you, what's the story there of getting into dating coaching for men?
Yeah.
You know, did you just have a lot of guy friends that were asking you advice? Give us some background on that.
Yeah. So I worked in the travel industry up until the pandemic. And when the pandemic hit, I found myself essentially unemployed. And I'd always loved giving dating advice and just talking about dating and talking about relationships and love. And something I had noticed is I had these guy friends who I knew were awesome men and had a lot going for them and would be good partners. But I would look at their dating app profiles and I'd be like, yikes, like this is not coming across here.
Sure.
Okay, let me fix this for you. So I'd fix it up, help them pick their photos, help them write their bios, and then they would get way more matches. And I'd also just like give general advice, be like, okay, like here's what she's thinking when she said this, you know, like here's probably what she meant by that. And I really enjoyed doing that. So I'd help my friends, they'd put me in touch with their friends or colleagues, people in their network, I'd do their dating app profiles. So when I found myself unemployed, I thought, okay, is there a way I can take this thing that I really enjoy doing and feel like I'm really good at and turn it into a business? And so I ended up making my first course. It was my dating masterclass on how to date better as a man, how to better understand women, how to authentically market yourself, create chemistry, flirt, and essentially date women you're excited about. So rather than, I basically just took everything that I had been teaching these guys and put it into a course that could serve more men at a lower price point.
And was it mostly online? Because pandemic is obviously
So it was then. So I didn't record my course right away. I taught my course live for 2 years before ever recording anything. And that was really important because, during the pandemic when I started, we skewed heavily online, whereas 2 years later, by the time I recorded it, it was a nice mix of both. I think online dating is, you know, a necessary evil and important. And I help men with their dating app profiles and to put their best foot forward there. But you can't only rely on online dating. So a lot of my material and course is not focused online.
Why is dating so hard today?
How long do you have?
Yeah. Speaking from someone that has been recently single now,
I'm
curious. Like, it's been 2 years for me. It's like, coming up into this era, I'm like, oh my God.
I think dating has always had its challenges. They're definitely unique today because we have social media, we have dating apps, just which adds to the challenges. And those aren't things that we have evolved to understand or to know how to communicate with. It's not crazy that people are bad at texting or bad at online dating. We've been only experiencing that for a very short period of time. You know, if you look at the evolution of humans, we've only been using the written word for a very short period of time. And now you're expected to communicate in 150 characters through a little screen. That's kind of crazy. So it just adds a whole different layer and complexity to communication and understanding somebody that you already don't know. And that's why I think where a lot of the confusion happens today.
What about the optionality of it? You know, knowing when you're talking to a guy or a girl, you know they're going to be talking to maybe 5 or 10 other people, right?
Totally. Dating has become a global marketplace. You know, on Instagram, you can reach anyone in the world, and you're seeing all these different people. And the grass is always greener, so to say. Effect definitely plays into dating. If a man or woman goes on a first date and it's not great, they're more inclined to think, oh, well, I have a queue of, you know, 20 other people who I can just flip through and go on a date with. So people make snap second decisions a lot quicker, which is something I advise actually not to do. I really encourage people, men and women, if you have a nice date with someone, first date is especially if you met online, it is a vibe check. If you liked them as a human being, if you had a good conversation, you don't need to be looking for sparks or fireworks or, you know, undeniable chemistry. Go on a second date. Chemistry can
even
build.
If the first one did not.
Not if it was bad, of course. Like if you like had nothing in common and nothing to talk about, like, okay, this probably isn't your person. But what I hear a lot is, oh, we had a really nice time. The conversation was great. I just didn't feel the romantic vibe. Mm. And that's something I teach men how to do, is how to create chemistry, how to flirt, how to be better at creating that romantic vibe. But I encourage men and women to just be cognizant that that can take time to develop. People are nervous on first dates. If you don't have to have fireworks for it to end up being a potentially long and successful relationship.
Yeah, we're gonna get into that a little bit. I wanna talk a little bit about the state of kind of modern dating that I've seen, which was, I didn't even realize it was this bad, but Tinder, it says the bottom 80% of male Tinder users, based on percentage of like received, are competing for the bottom 22% of women. And Scott Galloway had this article and he says, dating apps don't change human nature. They focus it like a kid in a magnifying glass.
Mm.
Do you think that's just been this case this whole time, that there's this thing of hypergamy where women do just go for the top 5% or 10%? And do you think it's vice versa for men and for women as well?
Yeah, I think to Scott's point, the dating apps are exacerbating that, because if you think about, you know, pre-dating apps or off of the dating apps, you're not looking at 100 or 500 people in a very narrow window of time. It's much more spread out. So you're not comparing people, you know, one after the other. So it's not as heightened. Yeah. So I think it becomes much clearer, like this person is better than this person, or like this. And it's not who they are as a person, by the way. It's this profile is better than this profile. So no, 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 yes. And that creates what you just described as being much more extreme. But that really showcases the differences in challenge, the differences in what makes dating challenging for men versus women. The challenge for men is essentially, how do I stand out from the competition? The challenge for women is, how do I decipher who is going to be a good partner? There's a lot of noise.
Right, and that hasn't changed. Women have always been the selective type, just because of evolution. There's bigger consequences for them if they were to be with a partner. And there's a second part to this, which is that, I don't know how you feel about hypergamy, but it for me, it's like a real thing, right? It's just always been the case. The college rates of men have also gone down over the past years. And generally, there's a correlation with earning income with college rates as well, meaning that women actually have a higher college admission rate than women. Where do you kind of see that going? If this is a future trend that's going to continue, do you see that becoming pretty much like a very difficult place to date for women and men?
Yeah, you know, I think I did some, I conducted some research around loneliness last year. And what it really showed me was not only that men are struggling more than other people, but specifically single men are struggling. And I do think that, you know, we are continuing to see that and heading in that direction, and talking about it and having these conversations can hopefully help skew things back the other way. But I think both men and women are finding themselves in a place of, things are evolving. Relationships aren't as traditional as they once were. And some people, and I think it goes both ways. Some people are like, that's great, that's for the better. I don't want a traditional relationship. I want to be who I am, and like, I don't need a partner in that role. But then I think you see another subset of people who are much more, they have like coined the term trad, where they are more traditional and they,
trad.
Yeah, and they're seeking.
Trad and traditional?
Yeah, 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 exactly. Okay. Like traditional, the yeah. trad, like, and it's like the trad housewife or the trad like relationship dynamics. Like, yeah, now that I've said it, you'll start seeing it on TikTok. But where people are thinking, are saying like, we've swung too far away from that and we're actually more meant to be in these traditional roles and that's what I want and that's what's going to make me happy. Mm. So that's a little bit different than the question you maybe asked. But I think getting honest about, I don't think there's a right or wrong way, to be honest. You know, everyone is entitled to seek out what they want in a relationship. But I think veering away from what has been expected in the past has created confusion and led to men feeling like a bit lost in the dating space.
Yeah, and it's different depending on where you're listening to this. I'm seeing a lot of people are in the US here, but I live part of my time in South America and it's completely different, right? Mm-hmm. The traditional values and the roles there have still been instilled. Mm-hmm. And it is confusing to come to places like here sometimes where I don't really know what I'm gonna get.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm dating a lot here either, but it is confusing a little bit of like, where are the roles placed here? And
what's she expecting?
Right, mm-hmm. right. Is she gonna freak out if I open the door because she's independent or is she gonna go crazy if I don't? It's kind of hard to displace that. So I can see why that's confusing, but we're talking about kind of having guys set their own standards. Like how do you teach guys when it comes to having their own standards? Do you want them to have very high standards up front where it might be a little bit harder for them to get those dates, but it leads to a better long-term perspective?
Yeah.
Or how do you navigate that?
Yeah, so overall, yes, I think they should have high standards and they should be going for like the ultimate goal of what they want, who they want to have a long-term relationship with, who they could see themselves marrying.
Yep.
A few things with that though. I always recommend casting a wide net because oftentimes what a guy thinks he might want in a, or need in a partner isn't ultimately what is going to make him happy in the long run or necessarily what leads to this person being a good partner. So I definitely recommend keeping an open mind and casting a wide net, like top of funnel, so to say, and going out with a lot of different types of women and getting to know different types of people and understanding what you want and what actually resonates with you once you get to know someone. That being said, a lot of guys will ask, well, she's out of my league, or like, how do I say this? Like they're seeing women that are out of their league and
putting them on a pedestal.
Yeah. Well, and my response is then like, level up yourself.
Right.
If you're not liking the women that you are, you currently have access to, or you're currently going on dates with, you can change that. You can date higher quality women by leveling yourself up and focusing on yourself.
Sure. Yeah. And I think part of that is just in the beginning, you kind of have to know what you want. If a lot of men don't really know what they want, you know, even me, I have to think about that. I have to be self-aware after being in a relationship, like, okay, what is it that I want now? Mm-hmm. And it changes, I feel, every couple of years.
Totally.
So when you're talking to guys about nailing that down, what are the questions that you should ask?
Yeah, so I really encourage everybody to write out a list of must-haves, nice to haves and don't needs, and really chat. And like you said, that can change over time with age based on what you're looking for, but challenge yourself on those things. For example, I'll have clients who say, oh, I really want a woman who has higher education or went to an Ivy League school because maybe that's what they have. But is that really what is going to make a good partner or a good mother? What is it that, why do you want that? Oh, maybe you actually want somebody who you can have intellectual conversations with. Okay, well, that's a very different thing than needing her to check a specific box. Or you want somebody who looks a certain way. You know, that's maybe a little bit different, but like, okay, you want somebody who is shorter than you or taller than you. This go for men or for women. Okay, you want, like, challenge yourself. Is that something that is actually going to matter if you're looking for a long-term partner in the long run? Mm. Is that going to have effect if this person is a good mother or a good father? No. Okay, maybe it's a nice to have because you realize like you like to feel a certain way with the person you're with and you want to feel smaller, you want to feel bigger, but it's probably not something that it needs to be filtered for on your dating app or should be a reason you do or don't go out with somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing that as I've done more self-work on myself is education kind of hit me triggered because growing up in a very traditional Korean family, I've always been taught to go to the best institutions to be, it's very like exclusive in terms of who they want to pair you up with. Mm-hmm. First question they ask is what university they went to. And I'm like, is that really something that matters to me? Or is this something that my mom wants? Mm-hmm. And I think it's good to be aware of that is like, who are you trying to prove when, are you trying to show off your partner or is it actually something that matters to you?
Yeah.
And I think you nailed it. Like it's probably important because you want to have the intellectual conversations, but it's not trying to tell someone that they went to this institution or university.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, dating is aspirational for both men and women. Everybody wants to date somebody who they perceive to, as intelligent and good looking and interesting, and they'll be excited to introduce to their friends and family. But I think getting away from the surface level, checking the boxes of the things they need and looking at how this person makes me feel and what my and how they treat me and how they treat others can be helpful for opening up the criteria.
Yeah, I agree. The other one that I have found helpful is like inverting that, which is what are your non-negotiables? Mm-hmm. So if you're kind of on the fence, which happens a lot, like this person is good, but do I really want to take the next step? Mm-hmm. You can kind of go back to the non-negotiables, which is like, I don't know. For me, it's probably like someone that doesn't really care about their health. That's probably a non-negotiable. What's a non-negotiable for you?
Wanting kids. Like I know I would want kids.
You would want kids.
Yeah, so if someone doesn't, that's a good I think, and people ask me that all the time. What if, like, when should I bring that up? Like, I don't want kids or I do want kids.
Right.
When should I talk about that? And it's like, on the first date. There is no reason, like, I think especially people who don't want kids, they feel like, oh, everybody wants kids. And so, like, they're not going to like me. So why? Like, you should rule that person out as well. Like, why do you want to waste your time with someone who wants kids if you're ultimately seeking somebody who doesn't? So I think getting in front of actually those deal breakers early on is absolutely appropriate.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess it depends what age you are if you're listening to this as well. But something to consider. It'll change probably over the next couple of years, right? So yeah, that makes sense. So when someone is trying to, this is something that I also have to figure out now, is whether you're recently broken up or maybe you're just been single and you're looking for something serious, rekindling my relationship with rejection is something that I've had to overcome and still overcoming is the relationship wasn't really a thing for when I was in a relationship, right? Because you don't get rejected, right?
Yeah.
Especially with the opposite sex, you know? It doesn't really matter. And I have to rebuild that because I think the reason why something like porn is so harmful for people is the level of dopamine you get plus the ease of accessibility. Mm-hmm. And I think for a lot of men, it's a real thing. Like a lot of men are very addicted to porn because they don't have that healthy relationship with rejection. Mm-hmm. So when they see rejection as so harmful, the easiest thing they can go to is something like porn or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And how do you navigate people and your clients of handling rejection?
Yeah. So first of all, you're right. Rejection is just a part of dating. If you aren't getting rejected, you aren't talking to and approaching enough women. So I also like to reframe it as, rather than thinking of like, oh, rejection, that's a reflection on me, think of it as redirection. So this is one less person you need to worry about creating a connection with or seeing it can if it can work out with. It is just a redirection to talk to somebody else, to even spend time with yourself, up-leveling yourself. And what I have found is the guys who are really happy with who they are and what they bring to the table tend to fear rejection less.
Right.
Because you understand this person doesn't know me. Her thoughts on who I am and my worth shouldn't actually affect my feelings about myself. Mm. And that's not to say it feels good to get rejected or, you know, you should be going out and seeking it and like not caring at all. Like I get it, it is hard. But the more you can get comfortable with it and the more you can get comfortable with who you are, the less it stings.
Mm. Do you think it's harder for women to get rejected versus men?
Men just face more rejection because they are expected to be the pursuer. So they're often the one who is expected to ask the woman out, to approach her, to ask for even the second date or to go for the kiss. So they just face a lot more opportunities to be rejected. Yeah. Although not to say that women are immune to it. Women absolutely get rejected as well, you know, in a relationship. I don't think one breaks up with the other more often. And that's an example of when women are rejected. But
yeah.
So I think it probably is, it feels about the same, but women are probably less used to it.
Sure, yeah. I thought there was like a recent stat when it comes to divorce, it was something like 70 or 80% of women initiate divorce now.
Really?
And it's even higher if the woman is educated.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I don't
Not believe that. Like marriage, though. Yeah. I don't know how it works for relationships.
Yeah.
But yeah, for marriage, that's a thing.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know if you want to break that down a little bit, but yeah. I know we're going more into dating rather than
marriage advice here. I find that fascinating, though. And I don't find it hard to believe.
Why do you think that is?
I'm trying to think of like an articulate way to...
Just say it.
Yeah.
You don't have to be articulate. Yeah. Maybe men get complacent.
I feel like just anecdotally, men are maybe more inclined to go with the flow and not necessarily notice when things are not working to like within a relationship, where women have maybe higher expectations around communication and what they want their marriage to look like. And so when it's not, they're more inclined to take action to leave it or to seek something else.
That's 100%, because I can speak, my parents are divorced,
mm-hmm.
and they pretty much slept like in opposite sides of the bed, of the house. They mm-hmm. weren't sleeping together for 10, 15 years. And then as soon as my mom could take care of us on our own, she, like, it was so obvious.
Yeah.
That she initiated the divorce, and my dad was like surprised.
Blindsided.
He's blindsided. And he didn't want to get the divorce, and he, you know, he's trying to fight for it. And I'm like, everybody knew, like it was so obvious. So I don't know. It's certainly that I think men are not as aware of that, or maybe they're just willing to go through it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure there's other reasons that weren't.
And maybe they're less, they feel the need less for an emotional connection.
Mm.
They're like, okay, the house is like getting cleaned. We're like all being fed. I'm going to work. I'm providing for my family. Like, isn't that enough? Where women feel more like, no, I want an emotional partner. I want somebody to connect with deeper. I want to feel that on a different level.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk a little bit about like giving men the tools, or women, around how to have that connection. Like when you're on a first date, second date. One question that I love to ask for even first date is like, what is your love language? Because I have a very specific way of communicating and the way I receive love,
What's yours?
For me, it's acts of service.
Okay.
My parents growing up never really expressed a lot verbally. Which also means, I've also heard that the way you express love to someone else is the way you receive love.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, if I like someone, it's giving them acts of service. It's not my natural inclination to be verbally affectionate. It's something that I'm working on.
Mm-hmm.
And I ask that up front just because I know that can cause so many communication issues.
Yeah.
What's your love language?
So I really feel like you could ask me on a different day and I might have a different answer. I believe in love languages and I love it as a topic, but I don't feel like so, like you knew immediately what yours was and it's like there's a clear winner. Where I just don't feel that way, but I do like physical touch and words of affirmation.
You can also go back to the way your parents gave you love. Is that something you remember? Like, this is how I know my dad or my mom.
Yeah, those actually, I feel like big hugging family, big like saying I love you family.
Yep. So touch, words of affection.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, but I mean like who doesn't love a gift, you know?
Sure, but you could, it's gifts is, it can be confused also with acts of service. Mm-hmm. So for sure, like if you're giving a Louis Vuitton bag, that's probably just a gift. It's not really thoughtful, but it's a thoughtful gift where they gave you an experience
or yeah.
they gave you like a handwritten note.
Yeah.
That can be acts of service combined as well. So
yeah,
it does vary.
But I had an ex-boyfriend years ago who was definitely gifts. It was like if there was a problem in the relationship or like things were rocky, it was like gifts. And looking back at his childhood, it was the same. His parents were very material oriented, showered. Like maybe he didn't get attention from his parents, but he got a lot of things.
What was his background?
What do you mean?
Like nationality wise?
Oh, white.
Like American?
American, yeah.
Okay, okay. Oh. I would have figured like Russian or something. Here, take this. Stop crying.
No, but and it was interesting watching that play out though, like in a relationship.
And you felt that wasn't enough in the end?
It wasn't. I mean, I wouldn't say that was the reason it didn't work out, okay. but it wasn't how I communicated love.
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm. So love language is my favorite one. What are some other ways that people can build that instant connection and help them communicate better in general and
yeah, move forward. Yeah. So one of the things I notice a lot of my clients get wrong. So, and again, I have a sort of a specific client who I work a lot with is they tend to be very smart, analytical, technical men. And so one of the things they struggle with is creating chemistry and creating that emotional connection, but they're very good at creating intellectual connections. So they might go on a first date and talk about work and actually be quite good at forming an intellectual connection where the woman leaves the date and it's like, oh, he's a really nice guy and he's really smart, but I didn't see him as a romantic partner.
Right.
So we work on, okay, how can you create more of an emotional connection? Part of that is asking questions like you just discussed that get you talking about things that are more emotional, that are going to feel, make you feel things happy. I mean, ideally you don't want to make a woman feel sad on a first date, but just sure. whatever that emotion is, and that often means talking about the feelings behind what's going on in your life or what's happening. So like, do you have anything exciting planned this week rather than just like, oh, what did you do this weekend?
Right.
Like what's something exciting? What's something fun? Like, strive to get her talking about things that she enjoys. That's from a conversational standpoint. Other ways though is very much physicality and body language. You can have like a really great conversation, but if you're sitting like 4 feet apart, you're leaned back really far.
Yeah,
yeah, you don't Locked touch out. Her at all on the entire date. Like she's probably not going to leave feeling like there was chemistry.
Right.
So you want to lean forward. You want to hold eye contact, usually a little longer than feels natural for right. most men. You
not too much.
Yeah. No, I mean, don't like, you not know, big at, yeah, eyes yeah. and things. Stare, never break away. But a lot of people have the tendency to not look at the person they're talking to or to be looking around or to fiddling with things. And that doesn't show that you're present and that you're connected to them.
Yeah.
So small body language tweaks, like I just mentioned, leaning in, eye contact, looking for opportunities for physical touch, and then paying attention to how she reacts to that and escalating as appropriate can really make the difference between, oh, you were really nice, but I didn't feel a romantic connection, and the interest in a second date.
Yeah. Give us some details on the physical touch, because that's always, it's also kind of confusing in this day and age.
Yeah.
When do you make the physical touch? Where do you touch her?
Understandably, so many of the men I work with are so fearful of being perceived as creepy that it ends up I conducted some research on creepiness.
And that was
like,
more.
Yeah, I have the numbers, I can pull it up, but
yeah.
It was something like 70% of men, 76% of men, and these were ages like 18 to 45 in the US, said that the fear of being perceived as creepy held them back in the way they interacted with women. Meaning they might not approach them, they might not talk to them, they might not touch them because they were like very fearful of being perceived as creepy. But then when I asked them, okay, what does creepy actually mean to you? They didn't have a clear definition. And so I also did research on, I asked women, okay, what is creepy? What are creepy behaviors you experience to help, you know, sort of like bridge the gap and like tell guys like, okay, here's what women think is creepy. Like avoid doing these things.
Right, right. And was there a disparity? Was there,
yeah.
Most men thought it was creepy, women were like, oh, it's fine. Like,
well, I would say like, yes, in the sense that men, because they were perceived as being creepy, weren't taking action at all. So approaching a woman is not creepy. Approaching a woman and making a sexual comment is creepy.
Comment, yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, or unwanted physical touch, or contacting, meeting someone in person and even contacting them on the internet after, like seeking them out,
yeah,
can be perceived as creepy because you didn't ask for that. You didn't ask for her phone number or for her contact when you had the chance, and then you, you know, did the online stalking and contacted her that way. That can be perceived as creepy.
You said unwanted physical touch. That's the whole confusion though, right?
So yeah, yeah.
What do you mean by that?
So, I mean, obviously if you don't know this person, like if you are approaching a woman for the first time or you're meeting her for the first time, not on a date, it's not appropriate to touch her.
Right.
So, you know, even like I have actually experienced this where it's like I'm meeting someone for the first time, again, not a date, and like he goes for like the cheek kiss. And like while that's totally appropriate in some cultures, if this is like a total stranger like at a bar, like I'm not comfortable with that.
Yeah. It's funny because it's so normal in
and
Latin America, Spain.
I feel like it's also, I mean, this is like not gonna be helpful because, you know, it's not like an answer that people can replicate. But like there's a difference between it being like a natural cultural thing where for you're sure. like in Latin America or like I said, I lived in Argentina and you're meeting a friend of a friend and it's very natural to do the cheek kiss. And right. then like having a guy at a bar who is clearly like looking for something from you and then like him going for a cheek kiss where it's like, oh, like, no, like this feels like you are just like invading my personal space.
It's so different because like also my parents like. I don't know. Maybe I got my first like real hug from my mom and like when I was like 17 or 18.
Oh my gosh.
And my ex-girlfriend was Argentinian.
Oh, okay.
So when I went to go see her parents, I was so like blown away.
Yeah, they're like kissing you and touching
you. Kissing, hugging, like, you know, her dad was kissing. I was like, oh my God, like I'm blown away. Maybe my love language is actually physical touch.
Yeah.
You know? It just completely changed. But yeah, that it's interesting the disparity between the creepiness because what I've also heard is that men seem to have a higher, I don't know what's the right way to put it, believability. Like they think that women are more attracted to them than they think. Mm-hmm. And it's the opposite for women. Mm-hmm. So when I can see why men would be coming on from his perspective of thinking that might be creepy, whereas for women it may not be because men generally have this perception that this girl is probably more into me than you think he is. Mm-hmm. Obviously it depends. Maybe the clientele you work with maybe is a little different.
Yeah, I was going to say with my clientele,
it's the opposite. Yeah, sure. At least, my circle of friends, I guess I would say. So, that seems to be a real stat. There's this disparity of how men think about that.
And what I always tell clients is if you're on a date with this woman, she wants to be there. You're exploring a romantic relationship.
Yeah.
Hands, elbows, shoulders tend to be very safe places to start.
Hands,
elbows, shoulders. So if you are going to reach out and be like, it's so great to meet you, or like, you know, even like to emphasize a point like, wow, that's so cool. And you touch her hand, elbow, or shoulder, like that's probably going to be okay. It's not going to make her uncomfortable. And then pay attention. Obviously, like if she pulls her hand back or like leans back, like, okay, don't escalate. Yeah. But if she keeps her hand there and you have your hand on her hand, like that's a good sign. Same thing with leaning in. Lean in, look into her eyes. Is she leaning back? Okay, like stop there. But if she's leaning in as well, that's again a good sign.
Yeah. So The step before that is obviously the approach.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's where guys get stuck.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like going skydiving and then it's like, it's not really just flying. That's the hard part. It's making the,
the jumping out the of
leap
the airplane.
To jump, right? And it's easier if you go with like a professional that pushes you, but if you're going by yourself or you're going bungee jumping, that's why bungee jumping is supposed to be a lot harder, apparently, for skydiving.
I would never bungee jump.
Yeah, because you're the one that's making yourself jump, right?
Yeah.
It's the psychology of it. And it's the same with the approach. It's, what do you say? It's, is this person single, married? Is this, you know, I heard you wear like two rings just in case. Like, that must be how bad it is for people.
No, this is strictly for the internet. You know, like I went in my Instagram reels and I just happened to have two rings. But it is funny because like the number of DMs I get and like one of the things I say about approaching women in person or online is you want to qualify first, like do a brief scan if it makes sense. If she has a wedding ring on, like that's probably like not a good person to approach. And like, the number of DMs I get that are like, so like you single? And like, which is not a good DM. am to send a woman even if she is single.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, if you just like looked at my hands in any of my videos.
Yeah. So going back to the approaches, when this is all in person, obviously,
yeah.
for now. We can talk about the app after as well. That's the hard part, right? Is this person busy also? Like, where are they going?
Mm-hmm.
Is there some, I don't want to say formula because it sounds, it's not a script.
No, but there
anything,
is,
right?
there
but
is.
Talk to me about that.
Yeah, so first of all, approaching, I want to just like reassure guys out there, single women want to be approached. I surveyed 13,000 single women, and wow. I was really surprised by the numbers, but I knew women wanted to be approached, but 95% of single women said they wished they were approached more, and 98% of women said they would rather meet their boyfriend in person than on a dating app.
For sure, yeah.
So, first of all, so just guys, be approaching the ladies. They want it, but not all approaches are created equal, so you need to understand the environments that are good for approaching and not good for approaching, and then again, yeah, you don't necessarily want a script that you're reading from because that's going to come off as inauthentic and be a turn off and feel, you know, usually robotic if you're reciting somebody else's lines. But have some things to fall back on, some openers, some intros that are just really simple. I think that's the thing guys get wrong is they think they need this like witty, funny, perfect line. And that's just not true. It can literally be as simple as like you noticed you made eye contact with the woman, walk up to her and say like, I think we made eye contact before, so I wanted to come introduce myself. What's your
name? That's simple.
That simple.
Wow.
And you'll be able to tell relatively quickly if she's receptive to this or not.
Sure.
Is she smiling? Is her body language facing towards you? Is she asking you questions back? Those are all great. Those are the green lights. Is she, you know, put it, does she have her headphone like one out and like looking at you like what? And like, you know, answering very short. Mm. Okay, that's a sign like, nice. Well, it was nice to say hello. Nice to meet you and move on. It's okay. And the other thing that guys often get wrong is going in and wanting to get the phone number. You should not be approaching with the objective of getting a phone number. You should be approaching with the objective of getting to know this person. Then if she proves to you, okay, she seems interesting. She seems like someone I want to get to know more. She seems like she's single and also interested in me.
Right.
Then you can ask for the phone number.
Right.
But if you aren't getting those green or even yellow lights, then nice to meet you and move on.
That's so true about the phone number part is so many guys where they're at a bar and they're with friends. The whole thing is an ego thing, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, of course you're interested in the girl, but you don't want to come back to your guy friends without some sort of proof that you, she wants you or whatever it might be. And they don't even focus on the conversation. So then they kind of just go for the kill, right?
Exactly. Like trying to impress other people or not, I think like they're thinking one step ahead and that gets in the way.
Right, right. And then, yeah, they might be nice and give you the phone number, but then she'll never contact you again.
Yeah, and I hear that. It's like, well, she gave me her phone number. Why didn't she text me back? And it's like, well, did you create a connection before you asked? Mm. Sometimes for women, it's just easier to say yes and give the phone number. But if you haven't created a compelling reason that she wants to stay in touch with you or she wants to go on a date with you, it's not going to actually lead to the date, which is the ultimate goal.
Yeah. These days it seems to be like getting their Instagram or, you know, other ways of getting in contact and then just DMing. What are your thoughts on like taking a old school approach, which is like getting the phone number on like the back of a napkin and then actually calling them? Because otherwise I feel like you're dealing with the dating app issue, which is you're one of the many other guys or girls that is just in this little text box versus calling them. It feels like it's just old school and it's more memorable.
Yeah, so I don't know about the phone call.
Yeah.
And maybe it's taking a little too old school.
You think so?
But I definitely like the phone number and then the text message because you're absolutely right. You're one of a million on Instagram. And I think the more mature, intentional route is to ask for the phone number.
Mm.
And then the only reason I have nothing against a phone call, but because it can be surprising and not what most people do, they might be more inclined to be like, not answer. Like, why is this person calling me?
Sure,
so sending a follow-up text message in my experience, is just the most reliable route.
Yeah. And I guess it also depends on how the connection was. If it was like super short, maybe don't call them. But if you had a really good conversation.
Or if it's a friend of a friend.
Right. If there's some connection. Yeah, I think that makes sense. Okay. So we dealt with the approach part. Let's go a little bit about the dating online part because that's the majority of how people meet today.
Yeah.
Is it the same thing where like you don't want to have a formula in terms of like a script, but you want to have something that's reliable? And how do they get more attention in the world of Bumble, Tinder, all that?
Totally. So one thing I will say is I actually, back talking about approaching and online dating, they're so different, but they are both so important for your top of funnel strategy. I like to think about dating as a funnel.
It's like a sales strategy.
Yeah, it's like a funnel.
How do women react to that?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah, comment below.
Yeah, let us know.
Yeah.
But I just created a course, a mini course that is just about how to approach women, because it is something that is so challenging. And then I also have a course that's just about online dating, because you really have different things to consider in both, but they are both equally important for meeting more people and getting your, if you're great at the down funnel portion, if your top of funnel doesn't have, you know, leads coming into it, then nothing else matters.
Yeah.
So with online dating, the biggest thing I see that men get wrong is they just have bad profiles. And as a man, back to your point from the beginning, if you don't have an exceptional profile, you're not getting any matches.
What's exceptional?
Great photos. So high quality photos that showcase what you look like, no question what you look like, showcase your lifestyle, your hobbies and interests. Again, we don't just want 6 headshots. Yeah. It should be a variety of photos. Compelling, interesting bio and prompts, ideally something that can make her smile and gives her something to ask about or piques her interest. So like, oh, I want to know more about this thing that he talked about. And that's really it. And then you need some proof points. You want to verify your profile, link your social media, just from a safety perspective of like, okay, this guy is who he says he is. Although if the other parts are completed well, that usually becomes less important, because it's like, okay, he looks like a real human.
Sure, sure.
Whereas a woman can literally throw up a few photos, like not put any info, and she has a million matches. She has more matches than she knows what to do with.
For sure. And I think in general, women are just more skilled in terms of how to take good quality
photos. Yeah, what
men
makes
don't
a
care.
Good photo.
We're doing like chin up photos or like blurry photos from the rain. So I totally get that. So they did all that and they're still not getting matches. What did they do?
Sounds like you better get offline and start meeting people in person.
So that's
online
what you recommend.
Dating isn't for everybody. Listen, there are certain people that are going to be challenged online dating. If you are really short, you are going to be filtered out by most women who have a height criteria set in their profile.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you're doomed to be single. It just means you need to look for ways to meet women that cater to your strengths.
Sure.
So meeting them at interest areas of things you're good at, developing your in real life approach. There are plenty of women who would date a guy who is shorter than them if she meets him in person and he's charming and he makes her smile, but would never even see his profile online because she has her height filter set to something specific.
Right. Because it's like what she aspires for, but obviously if there's so many other good qualities of a man, it doesn't really matter, right? Yeah. Women are not as superficial as guys. Right?
Yeah, I actually feel like that is true. Men care way more about what women look like than women care about what men look like.
Right, right. Well, what do women care about? Because kind of go back to this idea of hypergamy, you know, women, you know, there's this whole idea like men perceive women like older guys, women like guys with money. And then it kind of leads them into this negative loophole of women are gold diggers, right? There's this whole like whatever pill community.
Incel community.
Incel community that like hate on women, which I find so ridiculous.
Yeah.
But what is it do you think that women want that maybe men don't understand?
Yeah. So both of those things that you just described, like a man being older, okay, what does that tell us? You know, that she doesn't like him because in years he is older, but that probably means he's more mature, he's more established, maybe he's more confident. Women want a guy who is high status. And ultimately, what is, like, high status, you hear that all the time. Okay, it's so vague. What does that ultimately mean? But she wants a guy who's going places, who looks like he can provide for her and a family if that's something she wants. It's like, women are gold diggers, all they want is money. And it's like, no, but being able to provide is attractive, because having a steady career also shows your ability to commit, your ability to persevere, your ability to focus. These are all attractive qualities in a partner. And so, you know, showing respect to yourself, to others. And it's another thing that guys I'll see say, like, oh, like, women want assholes. And it's like, no, women don't want assholes. Yeah. But there are certain traits associated with being an asshole, like looking out for yourself, like being confident, standing your ground, that are also attractive in a man. So you can be kind but still stand your ground and put yourself first and respect yourself, and that's going to be attractive. And you take that back to evolutionary time, or you look at that in the context of evolution, and you take it back to caveman times. Does she want the caveman who's bending over backwards for everybody else and, you know, putting everybody else before himself? Or does she want the caveman who's taking action, not scared of what other people think, going out and getting shit done? That's attractive.
Yep. But you still, that's the confusion, right? It's people think you have to be either the nice guy or the asshole. And it's not, like, the world doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
You can be both. And I think that's the clarity that people needed.
You can be kind. You can be present. You know, we talked about that earlier. Just being present, looking at somebody, actually listening to them, asking thoughtful questions. You can do that and then still have boundaries and respect yourself and put yourself before a complete stranger, and that can make for a great first date.
Yep. There's a book called The Art of Seduction by Robert Greene. It doesn't sound as douchey as people think it is, by the way. Like, he's written some of the most, like, credible books. But he summarized the kind of this core competency skill of seducers in one sentence. And he said that they're outer focused, meaning they're not in their head. They're not thinking about what to say. They're not self-conscious. They're purely outer focused in terms of how is this person reacting? How do they feel? What questions should they ask? And I found that really interesting. It's like, that was a good tip for people that maybe get nervous when they're in a, particularly like an in-person conversation, to be completely outer focused and thinking about, how should you direct the conversation? How should you lead that conversation forward? What are some other tips you recommend for people to be more inner confident or to be more charismatic?
Yeah. So let me think about that. I'm going to get a sip of water too while we're at it.
Yeah. Like, for me, the times when I feel most confident are pretty simple. It's like when I take care of myself, when I'm going to the gym, when I'm disciplined, and that self-respect that I have for myself comes out because I know I've done the work on myself, and it doesn't really matter what other people think, because only I know the work that I've done.
Confidence doesn't come from external validation. If it is true confidence, like what you just touched on. And that's what I tell my clients is, if you want to feel more confident, spend time getting good at things. So this doesn't mean getting good at dating, but it could be anything that you enjoy. Like, get good at bowling. That can be a source of confidence for you. Get good at stand-up comedy. Those are things that you can be confident about. And, you know, depending on where you're starting from today, it can be helpful to write a list of 10 things that you're confident in, or 10 things you love about yourself, and refer back to that. Read that before dates. Go read that before situations where you might be nervous, to remind yourself of your worth and everything you bring to the table, because you're a lot less likely to put her on a pedestal or feel like you're not worthy if you truly believe, like, you know, or and know that you have all of these things going for you, and that you deserve a woman of high quality, or whatever it may be.
Yeah, you're not letting the other person dictate how you feel
about yourself.
What you think about yourself.
Exactly.
It's yourself.
Even if she doesn't like you, or if she rejects you or isn't receptive to your approach, that isn't going to affect how you feel about yourself.
How do you define, and everybody has a different definition, a high value man and a high value woman.
So I think for both a high value man and woman, they are living their authentic life and bringing into the world whatever makes them feel good about themselves and whatever they feel called to do. So I talk about trajectory. It's like, it doesn't actually even matter where you're at today, you know, to be high value, but what are your aspirations? What are you working towards? That's really attractive. And that actually shows a lot of your value. You don't have to have accomplished, you know, your ultimate goals or have built this thing. But if you're working towards something, that's what's admirable. And that's ultimately what a partner wants to see.
Yeah.
So that can be a way to sort of like assess, I think, value in someone.
I agree. Do you think that that differs for, do you think like high value characteristics are different for men and women? So for example, like, is like, let's say for beauty, or money, let's say, does a woman with a lot of money, does that automatically put her in a high value woman? It seems like it does for men, like to a certain degree. Is the same thing for a woman, you think?
I think it depends. Yeah, I think it really depends on who is like assessing, you know, like for a certain man, like he is going to really value a woman who has money or a certain career. And for other men, that isn't going to be important. But I think, yeah, you can make generalizations.
Right.
Like where, yeah, women tend to want security. I mean, if again, going back to like the traditional roles, like if she's expected to have children, she faces higher costs for that. She needs to know that the her partner or who she picks isn't going to run off, that he's going to be able to provide for them, to keep them safe, to keep food on the table. Where for a man, he doesn't need to see that in a woman. What he might just need to see, like, oh, her ability to, you know, thinking again like caveman times, her ability to reproduce. Is she going to make healthy offspring? Is she going to be able to satisfy like sexual needs even? And that is where he, then that is generalizing where men often will put value when they're looking.
So beauty for women is, you're saying from an evolution perspective, that's a real thing.
Yeah. Like simplifying that a bit more, men can often see if they, or can look at a woman and understand if they're initially attracted enough to have at least a physical relationship with her right off the bat. Where for a woman, that is not the case. She needs
to get to know. I still find that so hard to believe that like, women would not be attracted to a guy. Even the story of like how you met your husband, that you weren't even thinking, well, I don't know if that's like really true. Like you weren't even thinking about him hitting on you.
Yeah.
And then later on, it became like a thing. Whereas for a man, it's like, oh my God, this girl is so in love with me or something, right? It's like if it was the other way around.
Yeah.
So talk to me about that. Like, why don't women immediately perceive that from a physical perspective?
Well, I think, you know, what I was going to get at is that women need to know more before they feel excited or interested in having a physical relationship because their costs are higher. So, you know, women are the scarcer resource. Like eggs are a scarcer resource than sperm. They face much higher costs from pregnancy and child rearing than men do. So they need to see, okay, this man is going to fulfill these categories, like these things that I need as a provider, as a protector, before I'm willing to take that risk. Whereas for a man, he doesn't need to know that. You know, he can essentially have sex with 10 women in a day and not face any of the physical costs from reproduction.
Yeah, totally. And then a few questions here around red flags. It seems like a lot of people don't really ask those hard questions up front and find out certain flags maybe a year into the relationship, sometimes multiple years. What are some common red flag patterns or signals that you're just, maybe it's not like a deal breaker, but it's like, okay, maybe just like be more aware of these things so that you're not just totally oblivious to it.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of the obvious ones that are like not showing respect, not treating like your partner how they want to be treated. But I think the more subtle ones are hot and cold. Like he or she is doesn't respond to text messages for long periods of time or vanishes for days or weeks and then comes back and is like love bombing and wants to go in really strong, where a green flag would be consistency. Mm. Consistency in communication, consistency in their effort, consistency in how they treat you. So the red flag is, you know, hot, cold, up and down, in and out, not knowing what to expect from them.
Yeah, it seems like you're talking about like the, at least I think about that as like the avoidant attachment style mm-hmm. of someone.
It can be.
Versus the secure of someone that's like really knowing what they're
yeah, doing. And I think, that's absolutely true. Generalizing here, but it's someone who has a secure attachment style is going to feel more comfortable with the consistency of communication, keeping things even keel, where an avoidant person will pull back.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean you can't date them, but it does mean you need to be aware of that. And hopefully they are aware of their tendencies around that and whether or not they actually want a long-term relationship. Like, that's something that would need to be addressed.
What about jealousy? Is there a place of some sort of jealousy in a relationship? Does that like spark the fire?
Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, a little bit isn't problematic. And some people, like you said, like it. They feel like they want their partner to be jealous because it makes them feel desired and wanted. Mm. Is that a sign of a long-term healthy relationship? Like, I'm not sure. Like, yeah. I think trust is really important, a very important foundation. Mm. And if you're jealous, like, is there some amount of trust missing, perhaps?
Sure.
So it definitely varies relationship to relationship, but I wouldn't say jealousy is a green flag.
Yeah. How does, just maybe you don't have to answer this, but how does your partner deal with that? Where like you're doing coaching for men.
Yeah.
Obviously you're very beautiful and you're going to get all of these DMs as you mentioned. Was that something that he struggles with at all, or is that relatively secure?
He's very secure. Great. In our relationship and trusts me fully as I do with him. If anything, I think he finds it kind of amusing and funny. You know, he's like, well, I got her.
True, yeah. All this attention and you got him, right. Cool. Well, any final advice that you think men should know around dating, confidence, self-awareness that we didn't really talk about in this episode?
Yeah. Put yourself out there. Approach more women. You are going to hear no a lot, but if you're doing the right things and you're respectfully approaching in appropriate environments, which if those things are like, I don't know what that means, then like get in touch and I'll help you. You are going to meet more women. You're going to get better at it. Success builds. It's a snowball effect.
Yeah.
And I think that is a really great way to increase the quality of your dating life.
Yeah.
And the quality of your life generally. You'll make more friends. You'll meet more interesting people. Could even, you know, lead to professional success. So
that's it. Yeah.
I'm a big fan of approaching people and meeting new people.
Yeah, it's a good idea that the point you mentioned around like the second order consequences of that is like the whole idea maybe isn't to get the date, but you feel more confident about yourself, you feel more social
because you did it.
People.
Yeah,
that's so interesting.
That's one of my favorite things. A lot of, you know, what I teach in my programs and my courses, I'm a dating coach. I look at everything with a dating lens. Mm. But one of my favorite pieces of feedback that I consistently get is I took this because I wanted to improve my dating life, but it actually improved all areas of my life. I'm a better communicator at work. I have stronger friendships. I'm more confident, you know, across the board. And I love hearing that because, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats. And I think that's true of dating and self-work.
Nice, nice. I can see why Mark Cuban invested in your company. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you so much, Blaine, for coming on the show. Where can people find you online?
Yeah, I'm online, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, at Dating by Blaine and datingbyblaine.com.
All handled. Beauty. All right, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.